Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the show. This episode features my buddy, comedian Bobby J. Cox, returning to the show. We had a great time recording this one over Zoom the other day. And, it was great catching up with a buddy, getting to learn about what he's been up to recently. And so enjoy this one. Want to remind you that Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company, located in Maplewood, Missouri. You can stop by there and shop locally, or you can shop 24/7 all over the world at roughneckbeardcompany.com. You can use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your purchase. This time of the year is all about their product, Roughneck Genesis. Features aloe vera juice infused with biotin, B12, MSM, glycerin. And this product will actually help your hair and skin pull moisture in from the air around it, keeping everything soft and healthy. Just a couple of quick sprays before adding your favorite beard oil or balm, and you're good to go. Check out Roughneck Genesis. Be sure to check out all their wonderful beard oils, balms, or any other grooming products there at Roughneck Beard Company. And Tom Shane sent you. If you need some new audio equipment, be sure to check out HeilSound.com. Big thanks to Heil for helping me make this show sound great. And if you need anything else from me, you can find me at rockpaperpodcast@gmail.com or any of the socials. I would love to hear from you guys. Let me know what it is you're listening to, what episode you may have enjoyed recently, or if you have some guests you'd like to hear on the show, send them my way. With all that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy today's episode with Bobby J. Cox.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
What's up, everybody? This is Bobby J. Cox, and you are listening to Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
This is beat paper. Paper covers rock. Rock beats is the Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double decker fudge round, rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Hanging out on Zoom with my buddy Bobby J. Cox.
Welcome. What's back up, to the Shane? Show. Yeah, welcome back for the second time today.
Yeah. technical difficulties, man. I think we're all trying to figure this stuff out, like how to make Zoom and all these things possible, and it's weird times out there, man.
Yeah, it really is. And it's like, it's kind of making all of us jump. You have to jump on and not only figure it out, like you have to make sure that your like internet connection's good. You have to like, literally like, I've made the same joke going over, but like I had to clean my room. Like I woke up, I was like, man, I can't wait to talk to Shane. And I was like, got all dressed. And I was like, oh man, dude, I have like clothes on my bed. I have to clean this stuff up. So it's like, yeah, it's a totally different world. It's like you do everything in your house. Like usually I would stand up or doing like anything. Like we even meeting for a podcast, we could meet somewhere like in public. But now you just have to fucking hang out here. You're like, you hang out like this and you're like, okay, I hope the Wi-Fi doesn't come out. If it does, all right, we'll give it a third try. Right. Because what else are you going to do? I did a podcast the other day and it just cut. At the end, it just kept cutting out. And then I was like, do you want to try it again? Like, she's like, I think we got enough of it. I was like, yeah, for sure. Like, I think you annoyed me for long enough. I was like, all right, then let's swing into something else. But it's good chatting with you, buddy. I'm glad we had a good beginning of the chat, but yeah, I'm glad it doesn't seem like there's a lag now. seemed like it was my Wi-Fi. My Wi-Fi sucks. My wireless fiber. I don't know what it stands for.
Well, we, like I said, man, I'm glad to be here with you today. Catching up. It's been too damn long. How's all this treating you? I mean, obviously we're still social distancing and in quarantine and stuff. We don't have, you know, live comedy, shows going or anything hardly. So I'm guessing you're still just spending a lot of time stuck at home.
Oh yeah. I mean, they did open up a club and I did perform a weekend, and it was with social distancing. They were taking temperatures at the door and everything like that. And it was cool to get back on stage, but it's like you kind of need the reps. And so like even just getting a weekend back after three, everyone backstage, it's like, how long has it been for you? And everyone sounded like they were coming from a war. They were like,
all right,
May 7th. That was the last time I remember hearing laughter. the world is falling apart at the seams. It's ridiculous. But as far as I'm doing, I feel like there's a lot of things going bad even in my life, but I feel like I just getting to be at home and relaxing has been like the best reset. Like, did you ever play Grand Theft Auto when you were a kid? You know what I'm talking about? Like,
yeah, for sure.
Whenever you would go to like a different island, and whenever you would cross the bridge, it would like stop and load.
Yeah.
I feel like that's what like quarantining yourself is like. You're just sitting here. You're like, man, come on, just load the Vice City faster. Just load the, how long do we have to wait here? And then after 3 months, you think that you're done, and then you forgot something on the other island. So you got to turn around because we all stayed out. So then it's another 3 months of just sitting and waiting. It's like, it just feels like out of time. I don't know. I've never felt anything like this. But besides like the world falling apart and there's a lot of just terrible things going on, like I feel like me and my girlfriend have grown closer because we had to like, we quarantined together. So now we figured everything out. We're moving in with each other in like a month. And it definitely feels like there's a lot of cool things that came out of this. Like we hung out and we got to be like, is this the person that I want to be with? Cause I have to see you every day, not every day after work, like every single day. Cause there is no work and we're going to cook together cause we can't order out. And it's like, so that part was kind of beautiful in that way. So getting a break was good. And like, I usually, if I don't do a weekend, like at a club, if I'm just like, if I'm, you know, not booked or if I'm doing something else, there's always that itch to want to do stand up. But because none of it's going on, I don't feel that itch. Like, I feel like I get to kind of relax a little bit. And I know some guys are going crazy and people want to do online open mics and all that stuff, but I've just been enjoying just like the relaxation kind of part and trying to figure out like readjusting my life. You kind of like, you get toxic habits out of your life. You've realized maybe there's toxic people in your life. You realize there's a lot of changes that need to be made. So I feel like that's probably the best thing that's came from this. But I am excited at the possibility of ever getting to see multiple people without having to like yell at them to stop walking towards me. Because even though I social distance, I feel like there's a lot of people that social distance. When I went out to the club, like people wearing masks came up, like, dude, I want to give you a hug. I'm like, no, you're good. He's like, dude, I don't care about that. I'm like, read facts. Go get a newspaper. Read something about facts about that. Don't hug me. I can see you. We can air hug. So like, I can't wait to get back to that, but it seems like it might, it just seems like it's never going to come, but it'll hopefully make us all better for it, for realizing how much we actually missed each other. Cause we'd all be out at bars. And I was the same as you're just like, everyone here sucks. And now I would kill to go to a shitty bar where everyone was the worst. Everyone was just like a Karen or a Kyle. Everyone's just like the worst person. I just want to hang out with those people right now and just be like, I really missed you pieces of shit. I really did. I truly missed you guys.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. I feel like a lot of that too, like you're saying with, you know, I spent a lot of time in quarantine. I'm now back at work, but I was like off for like 6 weeks during this time. And you know, just being at home with Stacy that much. And like you're saying, we do a HelloFresh delivery service. And like, so just having
meals. What's HelloFresh? What is that?
Just a meal prep delivery service.
Oh, they like deliver it to you? Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and it's just like, but you have to do all the cooking, and it's just like all the ingredients and stuff. So, but it's just kind of nice, like that you don't even
have to think sucks. About. That sounds like when they're like, "Hey, we didn't cut the pizza for you." You're like, well, "Just cut the pizza."
Right.
Well, it's great. Yeah, but you cook everything yourself.
Yeah, but I mean, I like it. I like cooking, and so it's nice to, for me, it's a nice service. This is not a commercial for them or anything, but I like it because, like, one, I don't have to go out to the grocery store and deal with people. So that's one perk. And then two, I don't even have to think about it. I just kind of like scroll through their options for the week and pick my meals. So it's not like we have to sit there every night like, hey, what do you feel like tonight? What do you, you know, it's like it cuts
out. Yeah, and I do that. Yeah, I guess that's good because I do that a lot. We'll like be like, what do you want? And then you both kind of do that thing where you're like, I don't care anything. And then someone will say like, what about kielbasa sausage? And the other person's like, all right. And then you're like, let's not argue. I'll just eat something I don't want to.
Right.
So that we don't get in we don't bicker for a second.
And it's nice too. It gets us out trying different things that we wouldn't always try. So it's like, there's there was like Korean dishes and different, you know, like things that I don't get to try every day and stuff. So, but then of course there's just, you know, different burgers or whatever. So anyway, I like it, and it's just very convenient, and especially for just the two of us at the house, it's just, but it came in handy during quarantine, you know, having three meals a week delivered to our door and stuff. So, and also just cooking together.
Do they deliver breakfast too? Is that all meals? They're just like, here's milk and here's a bowl of cereal. They're all like, right, yeah. Here's the steps, pour in, and then I guess not too much.
Right. I wish that would be pretty nice. Go for some Cinnamon Toast Crunch or something.
Oh my God. I haven't had Cinnamon Toast Crunch in years. I'm an adult and I always say that. And I'm like, man, I haven't had it in years. Like I can't go to the store and buy it. I'm always just like, man, you remember Pop-Tarts? I'm like, they're not illegal to buy. It's like not embarrassing. It's just like, oh, I'm buying Pop-Tarts. It's for my kid. You don't have a kid. I know, but if I want one day, these things will last.
Right.
I'm going to save them. They're going to want these ones. They have like new flavors that I think they'll want to try.
Yeah. But that, but I think the cooking together for the two of us, like, I think all that stuff, like it added to it. Like, I mean, I feel we, grew stronger throughout all, as a couple and stuff. So, yeah, I agree. I think there was a lot of, even as terrible of a thing, obviously overall, I think there were some good moments for sure for me personally and stuff too. So
that's awesome, man. That's really cool. So are you guys still doing that service? Are you guys ordering out now sometimes, or
we do go out, but like, yeah, we still do that. Cause it's just, you know, it takes care of three lunches or dinners and stuff throughout the week. So,
yeah,
it's nice. But during this time, I noticed that you also, you know, started a podcast.
You talking about my podcast?
Yeah.
Dude, I never would have thought that something I literally made because I was like, I love annoying people. Like, I'm just like, I get off on like people being like, this guy's this guy's a lot to handle. And so I was like, well, I feel like everyone I knew at the time was like making podcasts. And then like, as the pandemic happened, people are like, I guess it's time. I'm starting my podcast. And I'm like, dude, more power to you for sure. I mean, I'm on a podcast right now. I get it. You have to do it. I think you will grow with the times. I think it's better than trying to maybe do like live stand-up or like Zoom stand-up because it's such a tough thing. But I love doing like on my Instagram, if to anyone who doesn't know, it's everyone's favorite thing. And I do so many other things that I'll like think out. They're really thought out things. But this one, I just woke up and I'm like, I'm going to do this thing where I pretend like I'm just waking up and I make like a promo that doesn't make sense. And I just do like, it's like a clip from the podcast, but the episode doesn't exist. And someone told me the other day, they go, I would literally be sad if you stopped doing that, like on your Instagram. And I was like, you can't hold me accountable for that. I get super anxious and get anxiety. I get depressive and I'm just like, I can't be half. Sometimes I don't want to make these, so don't put that pressure on me. But right. So that's my favorite thing. It's just to do it on my story. That's honestly my favorite thing to do is just to like go about my day and make stuff, because people seem to love that more than my stand up. People who are like, dude, I want to come see your shows, they'll never come out. And then every day they're like, ha ha ha. Cause it's so much easier to like watch me while you're literally shitting. Like, it's all of those jokes are completely true, but it's like, what else? You're going to be like, oh, I'm going to watch Bobby during Netflix breaks. No, you're like, oh man, I got to escape. So you go to the bathroom, you look me up, I make you laugh while you're shitting. And that's, I feel like that's my calling. I feel like I was brought to this universe. I used to be a firefighter, but I quit that because I was like, dude, people sometimes are sitting down and they are shitting and they need my help. They need to laugh in that moment. Maybe laughter helps them get it out. Maybe they're blocked up from eating too much cheese.
You're welcome, America.
Yeah, you're welcome, America. Eat less cheese. You're gassy, America. It's killing the planet, all of our farts. So like, you hear about cow farts? It's like, oh, really? You don't think it's our farts too? I don't know. Maybe I don't know what our farts are made of.
Yeah, man. Well, I love it. I think it's great. And so be sure to follow Bobby on your Instagram, and you can keep up with the I Just Woke Up podcast.
Yeah, I actually had a friend who started one too. I haven't like seen her since high school, and she was like, you inspired me to like share your stuff and then inspired me to start my own podcast. And I was like, I don't think it's such an interesting thing, because I'm like, I'm already parroting something that doesn't make sense. So she did it, and as she was doing it, like, I could hear her, like, I think her fiance or maybe her husband was like out of earshot, and he's like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm doing a podcast. And he goes, like your friend does? He's like, yeah, anyone can make a podcast. He's like, well, it's kind of like his idea. Like, does it make sense? And she's like, I'm just talking about stuff. He's like, okay, it sounds like you're just making video. So yeah, but follow me on Instagram. That's my favorite thing to do. I feel like I love doing stand up, but it's like, I just like doing direct content. Like, people just straight to, if this makes you laugh, cool. If you want to follow me. If you don't, unfollow me, which is interesting, because I've had people give me hate mail, sincerely be like, they don't like certain things that I post and I don't give a shit. And I say something back to them and they never unfollow me. They keep watching my stories and stuff. So if you want to get annoyed, come follow me. It's at Bobby J. Cox. It's hard to spell.
Well, that's like one of my favorite quotes. It was from Howard Stern's Private Parts. And he, Paul Giamatti comes in and they're trying to figure out why everybody's, because he doesn't understand. It was like, so he's saying like, how many people listen to Howard Stern? And he's like, 6 million people or something like that, say they like Howard Stern. And the reason why they listen, they want to hear what he's going to say next. And then he's like, 7 million people said they dislike Howard Stern. And the reason why they listen, because they want to hear what he's going to say next. And it's
like, you know, yeah. Like,
even though they hate him, they still keep listening because they want to find something else to hate him about and stuff. And
yeah, absolutely. And that's funny. And it's really weird too, because I'm like, and I get on Facebook and it's shitty and it's a waste of my time and it ruins my day. It doesn't make me feel good after I'm on it. Like, and as soon as I get off Facebook, I'm like, I get off and I'm like, all right, I don't want to do it. And then I'll find myself back on there and I'll start watching those videos. And Howard Stern keeps popping up and I'll see like video, like old clips and stuff like that. And it's like, I remember growing up and being like, I don't know. I really don't know if I understand this guy. Like, my dad kind of listened to him. And when I listen to him now, it's like, he's kind of, like you just said, some people he's annoying by, you know, or some people are annoyed by him. Some people want to hear what he says, but it's like, sometimes it's also like where you're at in your life. And now when I hear him talk about stuff, it's like, he asks people direct questions, man. He's like, he's such a good host. He keeps it rolling. He somehow keeps it like loosely fun, but also drives this narrative too. Like, he's a really, really cool guy. Like, he's as much of a rock star as anybody can be. You know what I mean? I remember when I was a kid, I remember listening to Howard Stern when he was still on The Point. You know, do you remember when he was on Point?
Yeah.
And didn't I think he had this thing that I remember, like, I would cut grass with my dad. This shows how like Midwest I am. In the summers, I would like cut grass with my dad. And we were driving around and Howard Stern came on and they had like this, like an orgasm contest that was on the radio. It was like, they were like, oh, this woman's going to come like multiple times in a row. And it's on the radio. My dad listened to it. He's laughing. I'm like, dude, is this illegal? I just remember being like, and he would, it's like to try to push those buttons. It's like, it's, and to do it like in such an artistic way, not just to try to like, not just to try to be like, can you believe that I said that? He's like, no, we're going to do something and let's see if they tell us not to. Everyone here is consensually wanting to do something really weird.
Right.
All right, let's do it on camera.
Yeah. He's definitely, the show has definitely evolved. I mean, obviously there was a lot of those shock factors like that early on and, you know, which made him a name, but his interviews now, like you're saying, are just incredible. The way what the information he's able to get out of people and how comfortable he's able to make them and to where they are, you know, feel comfortable answering these questions and sharing these stories and stuff. And like, and then also being on satellite where he's at, you know, it's like, where else are you going to find a 2-hour interview with Bill Murray or whatever, you know? It's like,
yeah.
And it's like, I love it though. He's definitely an inspiration for me and, I don't think I'll ever be like that, but I like, that's what a big part of why I wanted to do.
It's not true, Shane. Not with that attitude. When you say can, and when you say you can't, you're right both times. I made that up just now. I'm so wise.
I don't think I'll be having any orgasm contest on my podcast.
Well, then why am I on the podcast? What, I thought that's what I got on here to do.
Right.
All right.
That's actually my
pretty
new
boring
segment.
Episode. Yeah. I couldn't imagine. It's also funny too, because you guys have such different demeanors. I can imagine like after this, like just like, because I think the segment was like counting that there could be multiple in a row, like multiple orgasms. And so I just imagine like he's like laughing. It's like him being like, one, oh my God. And just Shane's like, three. Like you literally have a clicker. You're very Guinness Book of World Record about it. You're like, all right, here we go. Man, this is a weird segment we do every week now. Rock, Paper, Podcast. Got explicit. Oh my God.
Yeah, we're going to make it happen, man.
Parental advisory. Oh yeah, my God. For sure. That's funny. But that's cool. I really do. And I I've done your podcast more than anybody else's. And you are great. You are definitely a great host too. And I like to give compliments, but I really mean that because you are like, it's like, and we never saw Howard Stern before he was in, like on the radio too. Do you know what I mean too? Like, I feel like I definitely also hear like some shitty ass interviews too. And every time I do it with you, you make me feel comfortable. I feel like I'll get on most and they're like, all right, what do you want to say? And I'm like, oh, let me pull up my notebook. I don't know, man. It's like, it's just, yeah, you're good to chat with. You're also, I've known you for a long time, even in the comedy scene. You were like the only guy who came around who we would like, I remember mentioning to you, I'm like, dude, do stand up. And one time you had explained to me that you're like, I don't want to do it. Like, I'm here because I like the art form. And you just always hung around the club. And anyone else like that, like, would always be hanging out because they were trying to, like, get this information to, like, learn the ins and outs right before they started. And you would literally just be hanging out because you're like, hey, you guys are all funny. All right, I'll see you later. And you're like, do you want to be on my podcast? I'm like, yeah, man, when do you want to, like, start doing stand-up? You're like, never. I'm like, wow, that's awesome. Like, even, like, I feel like even deep down, my mom sometimes she's like, do you think I'm funny? Like, you know, like everyone wants to do stand up and you're like, nope, I just like hanging out. You're a really like sincerely fun guy to hang out with. So I've known you for years, Shane.
Yeah, man. Well, thanks, Bobby. Appreciate that, buddy. But yeah, I think that's still the case. I sat down with John Maddie the other day and a similar kind of topic came up because he was, you know, he's doing a new show I said something about I'll have a tight five by the time the show comes around to do some comedy for him. But, I still don't ever have goals of doing comedy, being a stand up or anything, but I did tell him, I think it would be interesting to apply myself to like try like an improv, shop class or something like that to where I can add another tool to the belt and make me a better show host and everything else. And various, you know, just to be able to riff with you guys better and everything else.
Oh yeah. So, say like, especially coming from the improv shop.
Yeah. So
I didn't hear what you say, buddy. Let me just.
If
I could just say one thing, really, really, really. All right. Please, this is your podcast.
I think like doing improv, I think would add another tool to the belt and stuff, make me a better host and everything else, you know, just learning, be able to riff with you better and everything else.
Yeah. Well, I think every stand-up who does improv always, I feel like I've said it like it. I feel like the fastest I was growing at stand-up was while I was doing stand-up and taking improv classes, because it's like, it just helps you. Like, I think some people's like parents could take an improv class. And I mean, it's just because it's like, it just helps you. Like the biggest lesson I learned from it was like how to listen. And I just did a terrible job, but we're on a Zoom call. But it teaches you different skills, because it's like, you do realize it's like everyone wants to be funny. Cause like whenever you start to get in those scenes, like everyone's standing on the sidelines and you'll watch like a show of like young improvisers and they all just jump out. They're like, "Hi, I'm crazy." They're like, "I'm crazy too. Wow." And it's like, you realize that it's like, you have to try to figure out how to control the funny, because like we live in it. Dude, I grew up thinking I'm like, everything I do is funny. You know what I mean? I still think everything I do is funny, cause I'm egotistical like that. And I think that like, but when you get taught like that, there's ways to like play around. It's just like, because to do stand up, it's all on your own. If you don't put the work in, that's on you. But with improv, like you have to come in every week. You have to be working on stuff. But yeah, I think you should, man. I think that's awesome. But also to bring back John Matty, dude, I haven't seen that guy in so long. He's the only guy, like there's a couple dudes in St. Louis that are like this. There's a couple like, just like whenever you see him, I'm like, "Hey, what's up, John Matty?" And he immediately makes you feel good. He's just like, "Bobby Jake Cox, what is up, my friend?" Like every time I'm just like, "Well, welcome me, man. Thanks for, good to see you." He's just like, he's one of the good guys. I always like that guy. And that's cool. I didn't know he was starting a podcast either. What's his podcast?
No, he's doing a stand-up show over.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Doing them weekly over there at Bobby's place.
So, this guy? My place?
Yeah. Over your place.
Yeah, he's like knocks on the door. Yeah. He's like ready to do some shows. Yeah. That's cool. All right.
You got the brick wall already. You're ready to go, man.
I know. I got the whole setup. I literally practice. I touch the wall every night. And I'm like, I just pray to the stand-up comedy gods.
I was wondering about that. Like you were saying how you think everything you do is funny. But obviously there's got to be things that you think is funny. You think this is a great idea, but I was wondering, what's the funniest thing that you thought of, but you could never get the premise to connect for, as far as like your live show and stuff?
There's always a couple bits like that. I can't think of one right now, just because I haven't been in the routine of trying my set. I kind of like literally set it down except for that weekend, like when I had to like try to gather my thought, because I'm like, after 2020, I'm like, I'm doing all new bits, new me, new Bobby. And then you get a weekend. Okay, well, maybe I'll do middles. In the middle, I'll try something new. And then you're like, maybe I'll just do my set. Just because you don't want to bomb, like, because it's the only time you're going to, like, going to get to perform in, like, forever. But I feel like I can't think of a joke. Usually, if there's something that I don't connect with, it's just because it's, like, it's just something that made you laugh so hard and you want it to work too much. And it's kind of like, to use a stupid example, it's like when guys use like pickup lines on anyone uses pickup lines. Like, it's like you can try it, but it kind of sucks. Right. Do you know what I mean? I don't know, man. It's just like, it just feels really, really weird. And it's like, so it's like something that you've prepped in your head that you want to work so much. And it's like, you just don't execute it very well. And I feel like that's always the bits that like, I try to do. Like, I'm trying to think of a bit that I would want. They're all offensive. I wouldn't even want to say, the ones that I can't get to work are always ones that I'm like, they're just offensive enough to make people be like, "We're not mad at you, but it's not funny." It's you're like, it's just that. What do you want us to say? Boo. Like, yeah. But I feel like most of the stuff that I do, that's like, now, I honestly don't get upset if people don't laugh when I'm on stage. Like, I've actually, Josh Arnold and me and talked about this, and he said, he's like, "What do you feel like when you don't do well on stage?" He's like, there's two schools of thought. Like, do you not mention it or do you mention it? And he's like, most people are like, "Don't mention it. Just keep trucking through your act." And I'm like, I'll always mention it. And also, Josh had said something that always stuck with me. He's like, "Just so you guys know, if you feel uncomfortable and think as an audience member that like you, that uncomfortableness and you're feeling weird, like, and you feel that for me, like, I don't feel that right now. And I've always embodied, and that's how I felt too. So it's like, if a joke doesn't hit on stage, I don't care. When I try bits with my friends, like people that I love, and I do a stupid bit for them, when I'm not getting paid. You have no reason to do it. You do a bit and everyone's just like, that was kind of stupid. I'm like, I literally want to die. I just want to fall and then just pass away on the floor right here. I just never want to be around you guys anymore. So that always bothers me more. If a joke doesn't hit on stage, there's so many ways that I don't hit on stage. Like I feel like, especially like in the last, I don't know, I would say like the last couple of years, I get more into wanting to be like, here's the times I try bits, but then at my, like at the open mic we run, I'm like, I'm going to try something new every week. New bits, new ways to act, like new, just go up there and just like, just go off the cut, like literally go on a rant. Well, you haven't ranted in a long time. So what would Bobby Jaycock sound like ranting? And like, that's the stuff I always have fun with. But when whenever I would think about not connecting with the audience, I would always just rearrange words. And now if I don't connect with the audience, I'm like, if I think something's funny, I can explain it to you in a way that is funny, but I'm going to have to figure out how to do that. And I used to try to just rearrange words. And now I just try to be like, well, they're not going to see your point of view unless you just show them your point of view. So usually any joke that doesn't work normally, I can always get it to work. Like by the end of a set where the audience likes you, you're like, all right, let me try this stupid one-off joke or something like that. And then everyone laughs and they're like, oh, okay, because we like you. But it takes a while to kind of build up to that. So sure. I just don't really, if a bit doesn't work now, I don't care. The only time I care is if we're doing like an improv scene. And I know people hate improv. People love to hate improv, but I love it. And it's nerve wracking because you have all these other people who rely on you. So like if I'm doing a bit there and it sucks, I'm like, oh, I'm sorry. I feel like we're in like a foxhole or whatever in the war. And I'm like, we're not going to make it out of here, guys. And like, I did this to us. That's the worst. But if I'm doing stand up, I've just been doing it too long to where I don't care unless there's someone I like in the room. If it's like, when I was single, if there was like a person I liked in the audience, or if there was like someone important in the audience, then I care. But now like, I'm like, you just have to not care. It's kind of the Zen part of getting not great at comedy, but better at comedy is like right. Trying to figure that out. So.
Yeah, man. I think that's what about anything though. Like you got to put the hours in, but two, you just got to learn to not give a shit. You got to like, you just do it because you love to do it and do it for yourself, not for everybody else. Like, you know, even doing this podcast, if I don't pay attention to the numbers or anything, I just keep doing it because I have fun doing it. I enjoy hanging out with my buddies and, you know, so, and, but in return, people have started to notice those. So it's the same kind of thing. Like you do it for the right reasons and then people will start to jump on board for it and stuff. So I think that's about with anything in life though.
Yeah, I think so too. It's kind of different when you're talking directly about like maybe stand up. Cause sometimes people don't want to change at all. And they're just on stage and they're like, they'll get off and they're like, the audience just doesn't get me. And I'm like, well, you shouldn't change who you are, but you have to change your tactics and you have to make them understand. Cause like I've seen comics who go on stage and there's like some guy in the audience who's like, I don't like this person. I don't like them. I hate them. I don't like their talk. I can just physically see they're different than me. But if they're funny enough, you win them over. And maybe you guys don't even agree on anything. But that's the cool thing about comedy is if you make a good enough point, you'll make people laugh. Like, I mean, you'll see it all the time. Like if a heckler pipes up, usually if a comic is good enough, by the end of it, they have the heckler like on their side too. Like they're laughing. They're like, all right, I'm kind of an idiot. So it's like you have to learn how to handle that stuff. But you can't play to it too much. Like you just really can't. I feel like any great artist, you know, I feel like if you watch any documentary, they're never like, yeah, I looked at the numbers and I just figured out like, this is how I do it. They're always like, I didn't care about anything. And then they make it to the next level, man. It's wild to see. It's great. It's just, it's in every documentary. It's crazy.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things watching people handle hecklers. Like, especially when people are really good at it. And some, like you're saying, some of them it goes well like that, but in other times it not so well. But for me, I think one of the locally, one of my favorites to watch do it was Tommy Johnigan. He would often destroy a heckler on stage. And
with his, like, also because he wouldn't change his cadence, and he would just be like, "And what did you say, man?" Yeah. Like, he would just, like, talk right to them. Yeah, yeah. Dude, when I was coming up, dude, that was when he was on Last Comic Standing, and he would be at the Funny Bone all the time, dude. And I would just stand in the back and watch him, dude. And he's such a good crowd work. He's so good at crowd work, man.
Right. Yep, one of my favorites to watch, and I haven't really seen him. You know, obviously, nobody's been doing anything for the last several months, but I know he's been busy being dad. But hopefully, I can.
I think he got a TV show. I don't know if it was pre-pandemic or whatever, but I think they were working on. He was writing for a TV show, or like maybe going to be one of the stars. Actually, I don't remember, but I know he was like he's living out in LA and he's working on something like that. So
hopefully, we'll see him here soon and back in town. But
oh yeah, man. Yeah. But yeah, I love you. Have you ever seen I've seen there's so many people good at crowd work. There's so many people, but I think the two best I've ever seen was I saw Chad Daniels, and he was at a club, and there was like a table full of hecklers, like so many people. And then this like one Karen of all of them that's just like, "Well, I'm gonna keep talking because I pay for all my tickets." So and she's just like, I'm like, "All right, lady, whatever." But he keeps trying to get her to shut up, and he keeps going. He's like, "Please stop, please stop, please stop." And the Funny Bone had just gotten new carpet, dude. It had just gotten new carpet after like 20 years. Dude, when you would walk in there, your feet would stick. You would like, do you remember that floor? It'd be like, and your like foot would stick, and it was disgusting. And they got new floors, and they got new carpet in there. And Chad was on stage, and he goes, "Listen, this club is paying me right now, and this is how much they just got new carpet, and this is how much I give a shit." And he poured beer all over the stage. He goes, "So do you think that I care at all about you? One more chance, and then you guys are out of here." It was the craziest thing I'd ever seen. And then I also saw Tig Notaro live at, was it Maryville University, I think. I saw her do, and she did bits, but she had pretty much the whole middle part of her act was just crowd work with us and the girls who were setting everything up, because there was this whole part where they had brought her out a water bottle and she accidentally dropped it and a water bottle exploded. So they brought her out a second one and she went to go do a bit where she's like, "I'll drop this one." And then that one exploded and she did bits with these college girls are like, "Oh my God, like, are we messing up?" And they had to be like, no, you guys are fine. Please go backstage. Everything's okay." And then also doing crowd work with us and like, there's so many comics I've seen, and I love someone writing a perfect bit, but seeing someone be good at crowd work is always cooler to me. It's like that thing of like how Robin Williams was, or like all that stuff. It's like just like that fly off the cuff, like you don't care about anything. Like when you watch Chad or when you watch Tig, like you never see them try. They're never like, "Oh, I hope you guys like me." They're like, "I'm here, and if you don't like me, I don't care, man. I just do not care."
Right. Well, and there's something about that too. Like just the fact that it was like, maybe some of it was a joke they had prepared, you know, ready to go. If somebody does heckle, they've used it in the past. You know, I don't know what the secret is, but you know, but there's a lot that feeling that this is live. You know, like that.
Yeah.
You're one time only. You got to see it. You know, happen as it. You know, like that crowd improvised moment and stuff. So.
Yeah. Well, I think too, and the only thing, and I'll talk to comics, but I'm like, I'm not an advice giver. I feel like there's so many comics like, "This is how you do stand up. It's the only way you do stand up." And I'm like, dude, there's so many ways, man. You'll figure it out. There's books, read a book if you want, talk to your friends, like figure it out. But, I feel like the only thing you have to do, and I feel like if you go watch it, any great comic just handles a heckler by like, they're going to say something and it's going to be at the wrong time. Sometimes hecklers win. Sometimes they're just funnier in the moment and they don't, it happens. It's like a shooting star. It doesn't happen all the time, but you'll watch some of these comics and it's like, all you have to do is it's like, they'll say something. And it's like, John again was one of the best at it too. It's like where you just go, "What did you just say?" And then they'll say it again. Or you just repeat back to them what you heard, because the audience can't hear everybody. They can't hear everyone saying, you have a microphone. So you just repeat back to them And usually by that point, they're staggering. They're like, okay, like not physically maybe, but they're just like, they just swung out of nowhere on a guy who's like, dude, I literally boxed for a living. Why do you think I wasn't ready for that? So that's the only thing you have to do. And then, because I feel like there's some people that are like, you know, there's some clubs that they're like, don't talk to them. But I'm like, it's going to happen. So you have to know how to either handle it or handle it by deflecting it. And if it's like, if sometimes people are just like, yeah, well, you want to know what I think. And it's like, when those people yell, just move on. But if someone keeps saying something, to pretend that it's not it happening, it's kind of like when you're like, a mom isn't listening to one of their kids and they're like, mom, 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 mom. And at some point you have to be like, what? You have to like answer. And so I feel like that's how I view it. And I think that it's like, just if you're a comic, just say back to them what they said. And usually they'll be like, I didn't mean that. It's like, and then you kind of learn where to take it. There's some people that are great. There's some people who's, that's their whole act is crowd work. There's some people that think that anyone who does any crowd work is hack. So, right. But we live in the Zoom world. Anything's legal now, man.
you haven't done any of the, you said the earlier something about the Zoom open mics and stuff, but yeah, I guess you haven't done any of that, anything, any comedy over Zoom besides podcasting?
No. Yeah. And I'm like, that's why I like podcasting. I think if you want to like, or if you want to make videos or make something that like stands in time, but like to do like, it's just tough. And I'm like, and I'm on an improv team and we're trying to figure out right now different ways to do like live shows, but it's like, we're all showing up at the same time. Like when you see an amazing movie, the production value is like all there and everyone's like, whoa, I've never seen something like that. But when we get on, we're all trying to figure it out at the same time. And then there's like the internet lag, like we had happen at the beginning. And then you have to hope, you know, people don't talk over each other. And it's like, it's just tough. I do think it's cool if people are still doing it. I kind of feel like the same way where like people who, you know, if you used to go to the gym all the time and now you're working out in your home, that's fine. But I'm like, I'm just taking a break from the gym. I'm still stretching at home. Like I write sketches and stuff like that, but I'll write things down that are happening in my life and I'll write ideas down for sketches. And sometimes I'll write a sketch or like we made a sketch album for Helium Records, like during the quarantine. So you can check that out. Helium Records. I was, that was like a fun break from it. And even as soon as I was done writing it, I was like, oh man, it's just back to me in my apartment. It's fun, but I don't really want to jump on the Zoom thing, especially like every week to come to a new open mic. Like you right now, people need to focus on like surviving kind of like, there's a lot of stuff that you need to do like on your own. You know what I mean? So I feel like there's a lot of too much going on. So I feel like normally I think you should always go out and do stand up, but I'm like, if you're taking a break right now, at least I'm taking a break. Like, I think that's good. I don't think you need to stress like right now. And anytime I get the desire to be like, hey, man, I miss stand up. I've been playing like, I'm so shitty, but I've been playing guitar like way more just because it's like, it's a separate thing. It's a break. It's something that I can get better at, but I don't need an audience to tell me that that's a D chord. I know that it's a D chord. Whereas like at home, I write something. I'm like, man, you think that's a hook? And I have to go try it as in stand up. But with music, you can just sit there and like play with yourself.
But I recently I became friendly with Carmen Morales. She came to town with Brad Williams a while back, and then I started following her online, and she's been doing a Zoom show, it was $5, and you get the invite into the, and she had Alonzo Bowden on there as her headline.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Debbie something, blinking on her last name now.
Did they just do stand up? Go ahead.
D Giovanni. They're Debbie Giovanni. They're both of them were hilarious. And it was like, and Carmen did a set, hosting it. And so, it was like a traditional comedy show layout, and they had like everybody in the Elsa's in the audience, and they had us like, we could mute, but they also wanted us to keep our mics on so we could laugh and be involved in the show. And
yeah,
I was surprised at how well it went off though. Like I was like, man, this sounds like a terrible idea. Everybody, you know,
yeah,
whatever, 50 people, whoever, whatever was in there and everybody's on a microphone. Like it could be bad, but it was actually people were pretty good about it, and it went really well. And I was sitting here cracking up though, and it was just fun to sort of like, even though it was different, but it did feel like we were back there, sure, in a sense.
Well, especially, and I'll have to check that one out. I don't think I knew about that one. But if you add the other comics and their laughter, then it's almost like what you kind of do with your friends when you start like writing is like you hit open mics together and you sit around and you kind of like pitch ideas. And it's like, especially because you know it's on Zoom, you're like, oh, okay, we'll keep going and we're laughing. Like, it's like not throwing out like easy laughter, but being like, I'm going to try to make my comedy friends laugh. And it's like hearing them laugh, it's good too. Because also when I did live shows like a couple weeks ago, the audience, it felt like literally like they were like you so attentive, but they forgot how to laugh because we were like, what was it? Like they had a good, everyone liked it, but it took a while before they started like getting into laughter. And it's like, oh, because they're at home watching Netflix and their laughter is like,
oh yeah.
It's like a different disconnect or something. So I feel like if you're going to do like, yeah, that's the difference between doing a live show, especially if you're getting paid and you can pay other comics or if there's a cause you can do, like there are ways to do shows, but I think the best live ones are like getting to see everybody and getting to people to laugh. Cause like even our improv team, we're like, well, if we're not in a scene, should we black out our screen? And you're like, no, just stay on there, laugh. Cause then it's like, that's why you listen to podcasts. Like when you listen to a podcast, you hear other people laugh and you're like, oh my God, well, if that made that guy laugh, oh, that, I think that's funny too. And instead of just one guy's masks, they're everywhere. It's like that, then you just do that. But it's like, that's part of stand-up is the laughter. That's why if it could exist on Zoom, people would just do it on Zoom, but you need like some kind of laughter. So I'll have to check that out. What was the name of the show?
I think she's calling it like Social D Comedy or something like that. Like,
yeah.
But it's just mainly just like through her personal stuff. As Carmen's like hosting it and putting it all together and booking it all. I think her next one's coming up with Tone Bell headlining it, and Tone's really funny. So I'm probably going to sit in on that one too. I think it might even be tomorrow. But anyway. But I just thought it was just fun. Like it was, I was glad to see how they were actually able to pull it off. Right. So you mentioned, playing, you said you are playing guitar, or were you just making a reference to that?
No, I mean, I played guitar in high school, but it's like how I skateboarded in high school. It's like half-assed at everything. Cause the only thing I wanted to do was like be the funny kid. And so, like when I was a kid, I was even in a band, but we only had like two songs. We played it, like we played one show. It was my graduation party at my grandma's request. So I kind of just set the guitar down and I would kind of just pick it up and strum every once in a while. But now I'm like, I haven't tried anything in a long time. And I just felt like, especially during this, like the pandemic, I'm like, I don't want my brain to like atrophy. I don't want it to like deteriorate because I'm not trying something new. So I've been practicing guitar like as much as I can, because I got a couple buddies who will all go down and we go, we just call it camp. We just go down to camp and everyone, I don't know why I felt like it was special to say camp, but we'll go down to camp. And at the end of most nights, all of my friends play guitar and I've always listened to them. And I've like, last year I joined in, but I was like, you think you practice enough and it's like stand up. You're like, okay, I think I'm funny enough. And then you get on stage and people who aren't prepped, they're like, man, 4 minutes is a long time. Like, that's how I feel. Like, all of a sudden, I get into the second part of the chorus, and I'm like, can I take a break, guys? Like, everything I'm doing is not good. So, like, but yeah. But that's been, like, the newest thing, and I'm, like, really trying to work on it because I'm like, if I could get good at stand-up, I can get good at, like, playing guitar. And I'm like, it's something I've always wanted to do, and I just, like, I felt like I saw the guitar, and I picked it up, and, like, like blew all the dust off it. I've just been like trying old songs that I've never got to finish, trying to play new songs. So it's been fun. It's just been something to give me something to focus on besides like stand up. I've been drawing a little bit more, but at both of them are at like a fifth grade level, I would say. So
I know that music's always been a pretty big part of your life as well. I know we connect, we actually have been to couple different shows together of a group called Story of the Year.
Oh my God. Every one of my friends knows that I love Story of the Year. That's how much I don't know why that I'm such, I think I like them and that I'm like, they live here, guys. They like live here too. Like, I'm such a like a fanboy about it, but I never explain it to people too, because they just like ask like, "What's your favorite band?" I say Story of the Year, and it's like, it's because I grew up with them, and I dated a girl in high school, like the girl I lost my virginity to, the girl who like literally like helped me so many ways. Like I was such a dorky kid, and she was like a kid. She's like, "You're really not that dorky. You're pretty cool." I'm like, whatever. And she's like, she would like help me realize a bunch of stuff. And then she was also like, "You ever heard Story of the Year?" And it was when she gave me their album, Big Blue Monkey, before they were Story of the Year songs, but they played them different before they made Page Avenue. And I just like started falling in love with the music. And she's like, "Yeah, my brother hung out with them." And I started watching videos of them like online, and they seemed like they had that Jackass vibe. Like they just seemed like they were all like into doing like weird burning stuff, doing weird stunts. And I was like, it seemed like a life that I always like, I was like, man, that seems like it'd be fun to do. And so I started listening to them over and over and over, and I just never grew out of it. And when you go see, I have friends who don't like that kind of music, and I don't care if, you know, it's like it's alternative rock or whatever. I don't know what you even label it as. Is it alternative rock? I'm so bad at that stuff. What would you consider Story of the Year? For anyone listening who doesn't know.
I think that's a pretty generic enough. I mean, like, I think they're definitely, there's some like emo qualities to some of the stuff they did too.
But they're heavy, but they're even heavier than all their songs aren't like, "And then she said to me," like it's not right. All just like but then they do have like a song where they're like, "I'm bleeding out of my eyes" and stuff too. Yeah. Like it's like, "My heart is black" and all, like it's sure. Like so it's like the emo-ness, but I feel like all my friends love metal, and so I got into it too because it was kind of like on that border, because I was like, I did like some metal and I liked some heavier stuff. Like my friends later got me into like Bring Me the Horizon and stuff like that. But I just always like how all like Story of the Year and stuff, it just hit me. I could go on forever about it, but I try to sell people on them even more too, if they've never heard them, because when you go to see them live, sincerely, you've seen them live, right? You've seen them live a bunch.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I don't know. I'm like every time I see them, I'm like, do you think they're still going to do backflips? And they do. They do, like, almost all of them can do backflips. At one point, I didn't even know you could throw guitars. I didn't even know. Like, you go to a show, and, like, I've always seen people, like, do some cool stuff. But across the stage, they're throwing guitars. It's crazy, dude. And one thing, and I've heard that there's people that I know that work, like, backstage and stuff like that. And they're, like, Story of the Year takes care of everyone there. And they also, when you go to a Story of the Year show, their whole family, their extended family, friends, children, kids, they're all standing around like the background, like hanging out. Like, it's not like, you don't even see that with like, Aerosmith, dude. You don't see that with like these huge bands. Like you go to see them, they have their family, their friends hanging there. And when you go there, like they're always trying stuff. They're throwing guitars. They're spinning their guitars. They're going 100 miles an hour. Like they usually fall down. They're like still jumping out into the crowds. And I'm like, there's something about that that I like about like the youthfulness of it that I'm like, it's the same reason people become deadheads. They're just like, I just like the culture and stuff like that. It's like just seeing those guys do that. It's like, you don't have to rock that hard because you know other bands that are in that genre. You go to see them and they all just stand there. They're not like their music videos. They're not like, they just stand there. But when you see Story of the Year, they always go. And anytime they do, like I watch them do something live and they didn't even just sit there and they're like, "All right, you ready? Let's start playing." Like they're doing bits with each other because they're like, they don't care. They seem like they're always squeezing every moment out of life. And I very much live by that. I'm like, you have to like try to always be experiencing it. And I feel like that comes through a Story of the Year. And I know some people maybe don't know that, but if you've never dove into that band, I'm obviously way into them. I've even been entangled with some of them. If that makes what's the Will Smith, an entanglement. I told you, I texted you about that. You're like, "What do you want to talk about on the podcast?" I was like, "I guess I could tell the story about the time I kissed Marsala." And you're like, "Hell yeah." That was all we said. That was the only thing we said we were going to talk about. And I don't know if I've ever talked about that on a podcast, but have I ever told you that whole stupid story?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh my God. Obviously love Story of the Year. We go, we shot Up Late. It was towards the end of that show. And just You saw Up Late too. We haven't. It's been such a long time since we made stuff like that. And I'll even look at some like old sketches, and I'm just like, man, that seems like an old. Just seems like a time capsule. Just seems like I can't. I feel like I'm watching my old SNL like videos. I'm like, oh my god, it's been a million years since those. And we left the show, and it was like we had to get drunk because for some reason we made like a St. Louis like style like late night show. So every night we're like, we're going out and partying. So we go out one night and we go to the Flamingo Bowl, where Dan, the lead singer of Story of the Year, will sometimes bartend. And I get there, and one of my friends is like, hey, did you see who's at the bar? And I was like, yeah, of course, I already saw. And so I go up and I go to order, and I fanboy out on people who I appreciate. Like I do with comics. I did it when I met Kinane. Like I met Kyle Kinane the first time. I've met him since then. But I like walked up, I'm like, dude, you're so cool. You're so, and he was just like, okay, man, cool for sure. I was just like, I'm just saying, man, big fan. Thanks for doing and making what you do. Just because I love, I'm like, you fall in love with that creative type. Like you love that stuff. So I go out to the bar and I go to get a shot, and I go, hey man, I just gotta let you know, you're in my favorite band. When I was a kid, there would be times where I was like sad and I like felt emo. And I would listen to your guys' music and it would make me feel better. And I just love coming to your shows, and thanks for what you do, man. And I went to go buy a bunch of shots, and he's like, these ones are on me. And I was like, what? And he's like, dude, and like, if you listen to my band, like this one's on me. So we keep going back all night, and I keep doing shots. And I almost blackout. Like I am at blackout. Like just like, there's a picture of me just like this, where I'm just like falling asleep, standing up. No, not driving home. Couldn't stress this more enough. I go back to the bar and I go to get one more, and I go, Dan. And I feel like we're friends now, and I'm excited. I'm like, Dan, I need a couple more shots over here. And I'm like doing bits, and he goes, your friends actually told me, he's like, you're fine, but I don't think, I'm not going to serve you anymore. And I go, that's weird. I literally own every one of your albums. I go and see all of your shows. I put him through a guilt trip, dude. I'm like, dude, I go and see, I support you and your band so much. And then he just starts pouring the shot, and my friend's like, what are you doing? He goes, dude, the guy loves my band. And I go to do a shot, and I go and I'm giving him, and I write a tip on there. And as I slide it across, he literally jumps up like this and goes, and I was like, eh, fuck it. And I go, and then I think that forced me into a blackout. I think I kissed Dan, and I black out, and I wake up in a bathtub. And my best friend and my roommate is standing there, and he's like, hey man. And he's like, how are you? And I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, I feel terrible. I feel like, I'm like, what's that scene in What's Eating Gilbert Grape, where like the kid's sitting there in the tub still, like I'm cold. I'm just naked and cold. I wake up, and I'm like, hello. And my buddy's like, how you feel, man? He's like, I got you a water. And he's like, do you remember your night? And I was like, kind of. He's like, you remember kissing a dude last night? I go, yeah, man, I do. I go, you ever kissed your favorite lead singer? And he goes, you know what, man, I haven't. I was like, then there we go. And it doesn't matter. Kiss whoever you want anyway. But I was like, that night, I was like, I'm not going to pass this up. I'm like, Dan comes out. He's a good looking guy. The guy's a handsome man. When I was in high school, he wore all black. So I was like, oh, dude, I'll wear all black, and I'll look exactly like I have a faux hawk. Like I'm Dan Marsala. Like that's how much of a dweeb I was, is that I was like, I'll just dress like this other guy. He wears all black, bro. I'll just wear black. And I've ran into those guys a couple other times, and I've been drunk, and I just go up, and the last time I fanboy, I go, hey Dan, what's up? Big fan. He goes, hey man, I know Bobby. He's like, we've met a couple times. I was like, all right, I'll see you later. I think I saw Adam once at the mall, and he was just walking by the opposite way. And I go, thanks for making music. And he was like, and it's like, I don't know what to say to those guys. Cause it's right. Like, you don't know. I feel like I feel like just such a nerd, but yeah, I don't know. That's, and I feel like, cause comedy's different. Like now if I meet people who I love, like I just enjoy being in the room with them. I appreciate their conversations, but like musicians are different, cause I feel like they're at a different level, like in their brains. And I feel like that's how they see comedians or whatever. So I don't know. Maybe one day me and Dan will get married. I don't know. We'll see. We'll figure it out.
Yeah. A boy can dream.
A little boy can dream. That is for sure. Until the day I die, I'm going to dream about that.
Hey-o.
Can't believe. Yeah. Stupid. Dumb bits. Dumbest bits ever.
Yeah, Dan, don't know, man. I didn't kiss him, but I had a pretty cool moment with him.
Soft lips.
But we were hanging out at Blueberry Hill, March, I guess, right before everything, or maybe something like around there, whatever it was, right before, maybe it's even, I don't know, whatever, doesn't matter, earlier this year. And we were hanging out up there at a show, and I remember like hanging out at the bar afterwards with him, like kind of from some of my buddies, and I'm like, you know, just kind of come up and say, hey, and I've met him, but we never like have really been like, you know, buddy or anything. But he's like, yeah, man, I know who you are. And I was like, okay, cool. Like, that feels good. Like, at least like Dan knows who I am. And like,
yeah.
And then he's like, yeah, man, I want to do the podcast sometime. And I'm like, all right, finally, I'm finally getting somewhere. So hopefully that'll happen.
Hell yeah, dude.
I mean, I think, you know, that was a big goal for me and Chris, even the very beginning of the show, was like, get Story of the Year and, you know, Greek Fire and these guys that these, you know, we obviously wanted to, you know, help shine a light on all things, but these guys, you know, it's been cool to have sit down and talk to these guys, and it's been something we've been working on for a long time. Hopefully that'll be happening soon. So
yeah, man, that's for sure. And if you can, yeah, Dan would be, yeah, it'd be great for your podcast. I think even Adam has a podcast too, where he like just talks about like just Star Wars stuff. And I was like, yeah, dude, how I didn't even know that's a next level. Like, how much can you talk about Star Wars? And I'll see stuff on my feed and stuff, and it's like, that's all they talk about. I'm like, dude, I couldn't even talk about stand-up comedy that much. So that's crazy to be like in the world, you'd think that they would talk about music. And he's like, dude, I can go in a rabbit hole of that. So that's awesome. Right. Yeah, dude, get all of those guys on there. I feel like I follow those guys on Instagram, and I'm like, they just seem like anytime I've ever met them, they've always been cool. And I feel like there's a lot of people that you meet that kind of, even St. Louis famous people that are just like, they have kind of a big head. They don't even want to talk. And you're like, dude, you're just St. Louis famous. That's great. You're as famous as gooey butter cake, man. That's you're toasted ravioli famous, dude. Oh my God. But yeah, dude, yeah, be awesome. Let me know. Yeah. And if Dan comes on, you'll have to tell him that story, and I'm sure he'll deny all allegations. He's like, I never kissed that man.
Right.
But if it's, yeah.
Well, maybe he'll say the same. Maybe he'll talk about your soft lips.
Man, yeah, he seems so punk rock, but so soft, you know. oh my God!
Well, Bobby, man, it's been so much fun. I'm really glad we were able to make this happen today, and hopefully, I will be able to see you in person next time and not have to do this. So,
I would love it. Love to give you a big hug.
Oh yeah, man! I can't wait till we can get back to hugging people. And, but you
sounded so creepy. You're like, we're both like, can't wait to get back to hugging people. Yeah, yeah, dude, give me your both creepiest faces. Yeah, give me that hug. Yeah, hug me. Cancel me. Cancel the hug guy. This guy likes hugs a little too much.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it was good catching up with you, dude, as always, man.
Yeah, you can find everything at bobbyjcox.com. Links to your Instagram and Twitter, and what you even had bands in town on there for your tour dates and stuff whenever that gets happening again. So
mm-hmm. yep check it out on all of those. Yeah, it's all at Bobby J. Cox, BobbyJayCox. I have a show coming out on ABC in the fall. I think I'm gonna be Conan's co-host. We're talking about we're gonna dual co-host me and Andy Richter. It's gonna be me and Andy Richter. So check out all that stuff. That's all true stuff. Don't type that into Google. It'll just watch it happen. Yeah. Right. And check me out in those Jim Butler commercials.
Hell yeah. Yeah, man.
Oh my God.
This has been great. I really I had a ton of fun, man. I'm glad we did this. So thank you
again. Me too, buddy.
Hanging out with me today. And I'll see you soon, my friend.
Bye, Shane.
Bye, Bobby. Thanks, buddy. This is fun, man.
Bye. Bye. Yeah, I'll see ya. Shane, I'll see you later. Later, Shane. Hey Shane, we'll see you later, buddy. Great catching up with you. Dude, I can't believe you're still recording. All right, man. See you later. Good chatting with you. Okay, bye, man. Hey, see you later, dude.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.